Let's ask God's blessing upon our ministry and meditation of the Word of God. Let's pray. Our God and our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your precious Word. We thank you that you are a God who has spoken in history. And we bless you that these Holy Scriptures have been recorded, inspired by men, inspired by the Holy Spirit. And we have this glorious record of your dealings with mankind down through the centuries. And we bless you that it is an everlasting word, yesterday, today, and forever. And Jesus, the living word, is ever the same. We thank you that it is a living word. It is a word which feeds our souls. It is a living bread for the hungry soul today. So we pray as we come to a particular portion of your precious word, pray for the anointing of your Spirit to rest upon it, upon the preacher and the congregation alike, that we might hear the very voice of God by your Spirit ministering the truth of God into our hearts. Pray that you'd help us not to sin against it, but to embrace to the revealed word of God this very day, as we ask these mercies in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen. Turn with me then, please, into the prophecy of Isaiah, into this 40th chapter. It is a glorious chapter in the Word of God, and it is rooted, of course, in the history of the life of the nation of Israel, and it is a prophecy that was written by Isaiah at a very sad, dark time in the nation's history. The very first verse would indicate this for us as the prophet speaks of comfort. They are in a position of great need. They need comfort. Their enemies are all around them. Their nation is being devoured as the year succeeds to year. And it is because of their turning their backs upon the God who was their God. They have rebelled, they have sinned, as we have heard this morning. It has hardened their hearts. They have become like ice towards their Heavenly Father, whose heart pulsates with love towards his people. His covenant with his people has not been broken. Their behavior, he has removed himself from them in that sense of the nearness of the blessings of fellowship. But in his covenant relationship with his people, he still pours out his heart of love towards his people. And that's why he says through the prophet, I am bringing you comfort in the midst of your darkness, in the midst of your rebellion. There is, yes, there is. Those who have eyes, those who have hearts, those who have ears can embrace the comfort that is found in our God. It's the reality for this people at this point in their history. There is one lovely verse that I seek to draw your attention to in this 40th chapter. It is, I would dare say, it is the most well-known verse in this 40th chapter, and it is the very last verse, and it is, the prophet says that those who wait on the Lord, those who wait on the Lord. Not many of us like to wait, do we? We live in a world which is so instant, which makes demands. We want it now. Why can't it change now? This is the world we live in. And you can go into debt to make some things happen and change instantly at your peril. But this word, this verse and this particular phrase, that those who wait on the Lord, it is speaking, and this is our theme, it is speaking of the advantages for the Christian to wait on the Lord. See, God is in eternity. We are in time. He is not moved by the busyness of time. It was in the fullness of time that the babe of Bethlehem was born. Not a year early, not a year too late. The fullness of time. It is when God's purposes are to come to fruition, then it happens, and it will happen now. dear friends, as much as we long to see God move in all his almighty power, we have to humble ourselves and acknowledge that he has his eternal purposes, which are worked out in time, in history. We are creatures rooted in history and in time. If God made all things new this morning, we would struggle. We would struggle. Because our nature would struggle with it. We would have to be made perfect to understand the environment in which we live. But the advantages of waiting on the Lord. Don't you want God's best in your life? So why hurry things along at your peril? This is what the children of Israel at this point in their history had sought to do. This nation had known so much blessing, hadn't they, under the leadership of David and under Solomon. But those days were long gone, long gone. They were in a mess. This huge nation was now divided between these 10 tribes in the north and the 2 tribes in the south. They were a divided people. And it is Isaiah's ministry, and it is through his prophetic ministry that he comes to minister to the people of God. And Isaiah had seen and lived long enough to see the greatness of this nation disappear. And it is his role to continue to be faithful in the word of God and to bring God's message to the hearts of the people. These people are going into bondage, into Babylon, strange foreign country. They are going to be devoured by the Babylonians. They're going to be removed from their land, removed from all that they have enjoyed as the people of God over the years. And yet God isn't going to leave them. God is going to bring them comfort. And God brings comfort through Isaiah at this moment in their history. And yet the unique role of the prophetic ministry of the prophets is that they also see what's going to happen down the years in the future. And Isaiah sees a glorious future for his people. There is a glorious future for the Christian man and woman. It's not always going to be like it is today. Praise God. And so he brings this message of comfort. Oh, it's comfort for your heart today. It's comfort for your heart January the 1st next year. It'll be comfort next year and the year after that because the word of God is eternal. It's eternal. And see, God isn't being caught out because it's 2015 coming up. God isn't caught out by the evilness and the wickedness of man's heart. He knows through and through the very nature of the human heart. And he's done something about it. Those who will wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. And so Isaiah writes this glorious truth. He seeks to encourage them to wait, to find the advantage into their life, the blessing into their life of waiting on the Lord. Where is their comfort to be found? It is to be found, obviously, in God himself, this God whom they've left. Isaiah seeks to turn their eyes and their hearts back to God. He truly is like a John the Baptist. His voice is crying in the wilderness. See, it's comfort in the attributes of this great God, of who he is. We read about them in the chapter that we read earlier, in verse 2. There is mercy with this God. Find comfort in the mercy of God. Find comfort in the glory of God. Find comfort in the eternal nature of God, verse 8. Verse 11, find comfort in him as the shepherd of your soul. He'll carry you, care for you, protect you, and feed you. That's where the comfort is to be found. He is gentle like a shepherd, yet he's omnipotent. He is the all-powerful one. He is the omniscient one. He sees 2015. He's got it all sorted if we will wait on the Lord. He's all-knowing, isn't he? Knows it all through and through. He is described in Holy Scripture as the sovereign Lord God, the Almighty One. He is the one who is enthroned in the heavens. This is the comfort that Isaiah brings. It is that very anchor for your soul this morning. It's rooted in him. Our comfort is found in him. We have to wait on the Lord. He's not going to change. You will come to him in 2015 and you will find him to be all that he ever has been. You will find him to be, as you wait, as you learn, as you walk with him, as you hear his voice, the ministry of the Spirit of God into your heart. Oh, it doesn't come overnight, does it? Oh, the school of the Spirit can be a lifetime's work. And yet the blessing of God comes in a moment of time because it's about obedience to what God shows you. That word of truth that he reveals in a moment of time, he reveals it to your very heart. He doesn't reveal it to the person next to you, maybe. What you need to know, he will reveal it if you ask him and you seek his face. And then the blessing, the advantage is embracing it. Embracing it. Don't form a committee. Embrace it. You know when the Spirit of God speaks to you. You know when your heart is cold like ice and it needs to be warm, full of sunshine and of his love. You know the difference. Embrace it. They that wait. The Lord. The attributes of this great God is what Isaiah draws their attention to. Here is their comfort. Here is their hope. See, these people were accusing God that God didn't know anything about them. Why do you say, O Jacob, verse 27, and speak, O Israel, that my way is hidden from the Lord and that my just claim is passed over by my God? They were accusing God that he didn't know anything about them. He doesn't know nothing about me. Oh, he knows all about us. He knew where to find me at the age of 17 years of age. He knew the very place I was. I was putting polish on a wing of Cardiff Prison at age 17. And the Spirit of God knew exactly which wing I was on, which boy I was, which person I was. And he knew the very word I needed to hear. Knew all about it. Knew all about it. The comfort of God's word. The attributes of this glorious God. But as Isaiah speaks into this nation's life and history, this last verse really brings it more personal, doesn't it? Because it's about an individual walk with God. It's about an individual declaration saying, this is my God. This is the God whom I love. This is the God who I serve. And I am going to wait. I am going to wait on him. See, your brother, your sister, your auntie, your uncle, they may be godly Christian men and women. There's our forefathers gone before us. Praise God for them. He can't do it for you. You have to wait. Come as an individual. And Isaiah says that those who will wait on the Lord. Well, who are these who are to wait on the Lord? Well, firstly, they are the people who are involved in this awful situation. The people. And there is a description of the people that are given in these verses 29 and verse 30. These people are faint. They are weak. They have no might. Even young people are faint. They don't have their physical energy that they normally have. Why are these people described as faint and weak? We heard it again in the children's talk this morning. It's because sin. They have rebelled against God. And what sin does, it weakens you. It defiles your heart. It defiles your life. It destroys that which is of God. And that's where weakness comes in. Defilement. of spirit and soul, even of the body. There is no might, there is no strength. They have been overcome by their enemies. These people are weak, they are faint. Their trial has been long, their trial has been severe. It continues for decades. Decades. Because of their rebellious heart. The devil has got in. He is devouring these believers. They have neglected prayer. They have neglected public worship. They have neglected fellowship one with the other. They no longer have energy for these things of God. They have created an access into their lives that the enemy can use. There is an open door, and in he comes with his size 12 hobnail boots. See, he won't stay out in the corridor. He'll come and join you in the front room. He'll make himself at home. And sadly, this is why these people had become faint. This is why they had become weary. They had become stale in their spiritual experience, and now their minds were playing tricks on them. Why they cry out, "Why, O God, is my way hidden from you? Why?" This is what sin does, isn't it? Sin brings its accusations. Sin brings its questions. Sin brings its dictating to God. Wait. Let's remember who God is. He is the Creator. And we are the creature. The creature doesn't make demands of the Creator. The Creator in a moment can speak. But sin has done its work. They are faint. They have no external resources upon which to call. They have only their thoughts to perplex them. They are inwardly looking into their own resources. And they look to others, and they find that others are faint as well. The old, the young are all faint. Even the youths are struggling with what is being placed upon them. See, no one is exempt from spiritual truth and reality. Doesn't matter what age we are. Doesn't matter how long we've been on the Christian path. We're not exempt. But we forget on sometimes, don't we? And that's why sin can creep in. And there's a weakness born into the life. How can young people find help in a day in which they are living today? How can they find help to warm their cold hearts before a holy God? The advantage is waiting on the Lord. God must teach us. God must teach them. The young shepherd boy David, he said these words. He said, "Blessed be the Lord, my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle." He wasn't faint, was he? Took on a Goliath at a moment when so-called stronger men just stood back and let him through. Whatever the reason you may be faint this morning, Isaiah clearly tells us in his word that God doesn't faint, neither is he weary. His understanding is unsearchable. Whatever the reason, he is prepared to give power. He is prepared to bless you with the advantages as you wait upon him, because it's rooted in himself, in his almighty nature, in these characteristics, in these attributes of him. It's rooted in who he is. He is the eternal almighty God. And there is nothing in my life or in yours that's going to exhaust him today, or weary him, that he is going to become faint. He neither faints nor is weary. Praise God, I can face 2015. Because he is sufficient for these things. For these things rooted. His arm will rule for him. He will feed his flock. He will gather his lambs. He will carry them. Or he will gently lead them in paths of righteousness. All nations before him are as nothing. Nothing. He will give power to the weak, and those who have no might, he will increase strength. These people are faint, but secondly, there is a priority here. It is those who will wait on the Lord. There's a priority here. Now, if you're one of these people that Isaiah is describing this morning, that there is this prime importance that you make it a priority for 2015 to wait on the Lord. If this has been neglected in 2014 and you're feeling in your life that you are faint and that you're weak and you're not where you should be, your heart is ice cold maybe or lukewarm, then make it a priority to wait on the Lord. It must take precedence. He must take precedence. If we want rich biblical blood flowing, if we want oxygen for our souls, we will only find it at his feet as we bask in the sunshine of his love and as we wait on him. Whenever you've spent an hour in the closet, in the quiet place, do you feel refreshed? You do. Whenever you've waited, you've read his word, you've given quality time to the word of God, you've poured out your heart in prayer in the closet for an hour, and you come out of that room, you're refreshed. Small illustration of the advantages of waiting on the Lord. It is a priority. Whatever is making you faint, it must go. This is the precedence. This is the prime reason, the prime thing that you need to embrace into your life is a relationship where you're saying to God, I'm going to wait. I'm going to patiently wait for his blessing. If God was in a hurry, he'd have done it. He's not in a hurry. We're in a hurry. And we get it all disjointed. He isn't in a hurry. If there is a hurry on his part, he will speak the word and it will be done. Situations will change. People will be saved. The backslider will be restored. And the kingdom of God will be built up in a moment. Because it's living bread. Is a fresh supply flowing from the throne room of God. A supply of grace. See, this word waiting on the Lord, it means to bind yourself to God. You're making a decision in your heart and your life and you're saying, here I stand. You are my God. I'm not budging. Don't care where the world is going. Don't care where the rest of my family are going. Don't care where my colleagues are going. Here I stand. Binding myself to God, waiting on him, finding the advantages that are found in his blessing. My expectation is of him. It's like that threefold cord, isn't it? Those three strands as they are bound together, the strength that is found in a three-stranded cord. Wait on him. And yet it's not a sense of waiting in activity. Whenever you bind yourself to God, you are tapped into the greatest resource on the planet. And when you're tapped into the eternal purposes of God, the Spirit of God in a moment will reveal to you what service you need to render. What he wants you to do. And so you won't be waiting, as it were, with your hands down and your knees folded and your arms folded and thinking, what should I do? As you wait, the Spirit of God will reveal it. His purposes. And so it's not a word of inactivity. But who is willing to wait? Who is willing to embrace God these days in this world and society which has privatized religion of every shape and form and is seeking to destroy Christianity as a whole? Who is willing to wait when so many demands are made now I want it now. I must have it now. Your heart cries out, why can't I have it now? God, do something now. But it's God's prerogative to do as he pleases. And not one of us are going to move his arm. Not one of us are going to deter him from his eternal purposes. He is working. He just wants us to get in tune. He wants, as we wait on him, as we make it a priority, as we give it importance into our life, he will give power to the faint. He then comes and increases our strength. Where are you going to wait? Well, you're going to wait in places like this, aren't you? You're going to wait in his house, in his presence. You're going to wait there in the closet, in the private place. And you're going to wait in service as well. It won't be inactivity. You will all of a sudden realize you've become a bit busier in the things of God as you wait. Perhaps this is the reason why you are feeling faint and feeling frail this morning, because there has been a neglect of the house of God. Neglect of his presence, that you're not always here. The closet, perhaps in the home, perhaps it's been neglected because so many other things crowd in and take our time from us. Perhaps there's been a neglect of not so active in the work of the Lord, in service, in the church. There's always something to be done. There's always someone who is crying out for another pair of hands in the church's life and on its department's life. Is it a priority? Are you finding the advantage of waiting on him? And thirdly and finally, there is, praise God, there is a postscript here. There's a postscript, a P.S. at the end of Isaiah's prophecy here. P.S. Oh, by the way, those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. It's the postscript. It is four short, brief lines of text, which is added after that main body of text. After all the consideration of the attributes of God, here is this individual, personal application that those who will wait, oh, P.S. It's not that I forgot to tell you, but there were great things to tell you in advance, and now I'm going to tell you what will happen. The advantage is, oh, you will renew your strength. You will mount up with wings like eagles. You will run. You will walk. You will not be weary. You will not be faint. These people were wrong, weren't they, to think that God didn't know about their plight. They were wrong to bring their accusation. Oh, God cries out to their hearts through the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah, tell them. Tell them, Isaiah. I haven't changed. Tell them that if they will wait, oh, they will know a renewal of strength. Tell them if they will wait, they will mount up like an eagle. Tell them they'll run again. Tell them they're going to walk and not faint. All their days. Tell them, Isaiah, bring this comfort to their hearts. Postscript. God is well able to change this weakness. He is well able to change the decline. He was well able to provide fresh vision. He is well able to shine light upon a path. He is well able to supply flesh oil for the lamp. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. By his Spirit, the renewal of spiritual strength and relationship unto God. And with the Apostle Paul, you will again cry out, I can do all things through Christ, who strengthens me. Who strengthens me. What a picture that great bird, the eagle, flying high to that great height, soaring above the cloud with his powerful wings enabling such flight, going faster and faster. That distinct vision, unique vision that they have, that ability to soar out of harm's way, that ability to enjoy the heights in which they fly. The experience of the Christian. By God's Spirit, he leads your heart and mind. He leads your thought. He brings your devotion all to a higher plane. He gives you this fresh vision of the attributes of this great God who brings comfort to your soul, who cries out to your heart, "Will you not wait?" And receive the blessing, being renewed like the eagle. Whom have I in heaven but thee? Whom have I in heaven but thee? And by the Spirit we're taken there into the throne room of heaven, like an eagle's view. That strength of the eagle, the strength of the Spirit of God, takes us to the throne room and gives us a fresh vision of who is on the throne. It is God. And all the wickedness that we've experienced in recent days in our world hasn't budged him one iota. Not one iota. If we will hear his voice and embrace the love of his heart, we will experience more of him, the advantage of knowing God in a godless world. The godless world. Ever been for a run and not been weary? Oh, yes. Spiritually, your spiritual life, your Christian experience, there will be fresh energies given. And you will continue to serve God, and there will not be a weariness in heart and in life. Ever been on a long walk? You've never come back tired from a long walk, have you? You've been refreshed, you've been rejuvenated as the wind has blown the cobwebs, as you embraced the sunshine upon your face, as you enjoyed the conversation as you've walked. You no longer faint, you come back refreshed. A right relationship with Jesus Christ. The advantage of being refreshed by his Spirit in his presence. See, the Christian life is not a sprint. It is a marathon. It's a marathon. So the advantage of waiting on the Lord shall renew their strength. God is far more willing to do it for you than perhaps you are willing to wait on him. We're facing 2015. Oh, we'd like things to change so quickly in 2015. Oh, if only this year will be different. It may be more of the same. Chances are, from the world's point of view, it'll definitely be more of the same. Same old nonsense. An anti-Christian spirit. But what about you? What about me as the people of God? Are we going to wait on him? Are we going to call anew and afresh to experience a renewal of strength and to enjoy the fellowship of the throne room of heaven? May he help us to do that, to embrace his word anew and afresh this morning for his name's sake. Amen.